the minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Away we go.
I'm going to say it again. Thank you for interrupting me. See, we actually go in when we hear it like that start. Anyway, welcome to the accredited, powered by 10th year seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I believe that if they bring another Breaking Bad spinoff on, I will watch it endlessly.
I'm Drew, and I think we need to forgive Game of Thrones for season 8.
We don't. Mm. Oh, and sitting in for John.
Oh, I'm Kari and Orange Man Bad.
I don't know where the adult in the room is. Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Oh,
Ricardo Welsh joining us in studio.
What a thing for timing.
He has very important things that he has to say. At any point in the show, you can hit us up
absolutely
on the telephone.
Important.
At any point in the show, feel free to hit us up on the lines. We have a lot of venting to get through. As soon as Carlo settles in, he's going to tell us what the phone lines are because that's his job. But
phone lines 326-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll-free at 300-5720. Text line is also open today, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
Yo, coming off the bench of the labyrinth.
That's crazy.
Spitting them telephone numbers.
It's right there. That's the confusing part.
Well done.
Theater of the mind. They're supposed to believe that you know that.
Not that you're looking at something
and reading it. Like,
I definitely am reading it. I'm completely Cardi B in this. The Kamala rally? That's my job here. Nobody saw her.
I didn't see it.
Nobody saw her. That's split second.
She forgot her phone and she was like completely drawing a blank on what she should be saying. So she had to call her assistant to bring the phone.
That's
anyway, what's
crazy. I don't like to talk politics.
I can't believe she didn't freestyle.
I like to separate my sports and politics.
Fair point.
I don't know what you're doing. But
shout out to Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa is crazy. We are not shouting out Nick Bosa.
No, we are not.
But the number one thing we have to deal with, and I know a lot of our listeners, soon to be callers, we are going to treat our first segment, What's the Lead, like a therapy session for Yankee fans. We were all locked into the World Series, more so than usual. There were a lot of casual baseball fans that got invested in this, obviously, because of Jazz. We got connected to the Jazz Chisholm Show. So whether you were a Yankee fan or not, we were all there watching that fifth inning, trying to figure out what in the world happened. So Yankee fans, I want to hear about the moment to you that stood out the most. Was it Aaron Judge dropping the fly ball? Was it Volpe booting the ground ball, trying to get it to Jazz when he shouldn't have? Let's start with us. Like, what was the worst moment out of all of that? Carter, I want to go to you first.
Judge,
just because you're here late.
Judge. I feel like he's supposed to be the superstar of the group. All respect given to Judge. It was the key difference starting the stretch. There was a couple of calls from him. Me and Jarvis were going back and forward in the group over the idea of switching up the lineup. You have him in that spot for a reason, and he just didn't deliver. In any big spot, he just didn't deliver.
Watching the game, me and Kari, we were at our parents' house. We were watching the game. So it was full of Yankee fans, and then one Dodger fan that we're gonna get to later. But
must have been sad.
It was not for him. The moment when Aaron Judge dropped the fly ball in center field, you could feel the air kind of being sucked out of the room.
Yeah, it was reminiscent of what happened to the Cubs when the Marlins came back for them in the World Series, because a series of errors led to you ultimately losing whatever series or round you're in, right? But to me, obviously, the biggest moment was the Gerrit Cole not covering first error. And the Yankees have been going through that all season. Like, I listen to Yankee fans complain that they keep having these infield errors over and over again. And it's like a testament to, it happens in the regular season, it's going to happen in the postseason, but to what degree? But to me, not as versed in baseball as the rest of you, that was, I just saw that and said, that's crazy, it seemed fundamental, and I felt Kaizen and his team would have covered that if they had the opportunity.
Well, if I can tell you one thing, if Kaizen was on the field, he would absolutely... You remember how you used to say he was a bad teammate and he would get down on everyone when he made mistakes? He doesn't do that as much, but they would...
That's the most Nal Dotti thing I've ever
heard. I'm twinkling his eye like, yeah, he's terrible.
No, I said...
He used to really go at people.
I said he's not as bad as he used to be. But he would just make it apparent to the manager, I don't need this person on the field. They are going to cause me lose. That's what he would do. Speaking of not well-versed in baseball, Andrew, as you saw this collapse happen.
I'll be honest, I don't really care about stuff outside of football until the finals.
Yeah.
And I was very interested in this until y'all looked very defeated the night of the game. Like, no one seemed to care. I was like, come on, Mr. Dorsett. He goes, yeah, we'll see. I was like, y'all have the same energy for, like, when the Dolphins are about to do anything. I'd be like, yeah, but your team playing today. You'd be like, all right, that has nothing to do with the price of tea.
Which is strange because we have gone through so much losing as Dolphin fans, but we grew up always knowing him to be a Yankee fan.
Right.
And so, like, this is one of his teams, and he's experienced so much success being a Yankee fan. So I don't even understand why he had that energy. It's kind of off to me.
To be honest, though. 15
years, that's why. It's 15 years that I'm not doing that.
Fair enough.
To be honest, though, like, I don't even recover from game one. After they lost game one, it was kind of a wrap for me personally. Like,
but I'm sorry. When Judge and Jazz went back-to-back on the home runs, in my head, I'm like, oh, this is this happening? Is this going to happen? Are the Yankees going to get to do to the Dodgers what happened to them versus the Red Sox?
And if speaking of that, I wanted
I never thought that was possible, by the way. How the Dodgers do exactly the same thing against us the series before, where no matter what lead you spot on there, two swings, they ride back in the gear.
The lineup, but this was ridiculous amount of errors that led to this. So that's like, oh, they just been favored by God. Then is what you're saying.
Playoffs. I wanted to get to the 2003-04 the Red Sox comeback, because obviously the comeback, the series is on Netflix right now. Y'all should go watch that.
What a game that was!
Oh, we should have saved that for new watch alert.
Oh, you mean like with structure and scheduling?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought someone had made a schedule.
Right. No. Yeah. If someone had written down what we should be saying, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah, but 3-2-3-6-2-3-2-2. Yeah.
That's the right
number. Oh, wow.
We have that.
So, the text line. So the comeback and everything that people say about Yankee mystique and Yankee lore, they always have this thing about it's going to go perfectly for the Yankees, the ghosts in the outfield. Where was the ghost of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and everybody else when Aaron Judge?
I was in the old stadium.
When Aaron Judge was out there. didn't they bring them over?
No.
They didn't bring the mystique over?
I think the way they angled the park, kind of slow all of that down, the mystique isn't there anymore. Like Kari said, 15 years, and since then, it's been nothing.
But I feel like the ghost would have been yelling, like, cover first. Run a little bit more.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Hustle.
We watched Angels in the Outfield when we was kids, right? Everybody's seen that at some point.
Great
the ghost is a
terrible movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. What are you talking
about? It's a horrible movie.
It's so good.
Oh, no. When you're a child, you don't understand.
Kevin Costner pay one bill.
No. Imagine a hamburger between Wonder Bread and just iceberg lettuce and American cheese. Yo.
You know what? Culture.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yes. All right.
How did they not help is my only thing. How did all the ghosts in the outfield not help? Tell Gerrit Cole to cover first. Tell Anthony Volpe, hey, just get the shore out at first. Don't try to make that play to Jazz. Like, what are we doing?
But to Andrew's point, I think after game one, the Yankees recognized that they had to play the perfect game every single night to have a chance against the Dodgers. The Dodgers is a team, two good innings. They could beat you. Yankees, they have to show up every single play and chances like that, you just don't have the ability to keep up with them.
All right, so I wanna get to Jazz's actual star climb since he went to New York. The trade happened in late July. The Marlins didn't have any star power, so to speak of. He was pretty much the biggest star in that clubhouse, on the cover of the show, doing MLB playoffs, television, doing all of that stuff. Nobody else in the organization was getting even bigger star. And for somebody who really doesn't pay attention to baseball, like you, Andrew, you were able to see... That ain't even a knock. That's a legit thing. Why you laugh?
Inside information.
Oh, no, I wanted
to... want to get the story so bad.
No, I wanted to... No, we talked about that before.
I want to talk about it every time.
People... I want you to know, people actually messaged me about that after the first show, and they was like, what's Andrew's problem with Jazz? I was like, you don't have a problem with Jazz. Anyway, you've seen him become a biggest star in New York, to the point where you actually don't have to know baseball or be into baseball to be aware of what he's doing.
Well, number one, he's behaving. Like, one thing, but us, we can support. Like if it was a question in writing, I was like, you know what I mean? I would care, especially if the gal fine. But no, like...
He, first of all, him being on that game actually that's really facts. Impressed me. That's fine. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You ever see Gazzo's right horses? Yeah, it's been
is
a boots.
It, is it energy?
Yeah, okay.
But to Andrew's tell point,
me. Please take
like,
it from him.
After Jazz got traded to the Yankees, and then he went on a tear of like hit after hit after hit. It's like, oh man, the Marlins messed up. They let go a generational prospect, and Jazz seemed to fit and be so at home in New York. It was just like, yo, Bahamas is a sign. You need to move a little further away from home. And then come back. But I felt that it, like for
where you live.
We ain't talking about that. Okay. And I felt like for Jazz, like the Yankee fans really embraced him. And I wanted to see how he would perform in these playoffs. And to me, the moment when he hit that home run against Judge, I'm like, oh, he's a Yankee now. This is going to be his game. And, you know, there was some things the guys left on base. But I think Jazz still, you know, he acclimated himself well to the game and to playoff baseball. And I think like it made me even more of a fan.
I think we all needed to see him put up specific numbers because he had been in a slump throughout the playoffs, the series against the Royals, even against the Guardians, not good. Not good.
Agreed.
But game one, he had good numbers against the Dodgers when he was with the Marlins. Game one, he comes out, goes 2-for-5, has that great moment in the 10th, which would have been amazing if not for Freddie Freeman. That would have been the Yankees' signature moment. And then he finally gets the home run in game 5. So I, from a selfish Jazz fan perspective, I needed to see him do well in the World Series because we know how the New York media gets.
And I would have loved the dichotomy of that fraud Otani not showing up, not getting
what,
hits.
What are you doing?
That was great.
You know he could barely separate his shoulder, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you want to feel, I mean, come on, get it done.
He's the greatest baseball player we've ever seen. Greatest baseball player alive. Like, I don't think there's anybody gonna surpass it. He's already
do it in the playoffs.
Already better than everyone else.
Do it in the World Series.
To be honest, I knew Jazz getting good. Getting like, wow, this gentleman's doing great. Like, pulls up. Like,
honestly. Now keep saying like,
stop giving us that much power.
No,
it's
now
people that are like, legitimately upset
like,
at us.
You're not as well versed in baseball. I feel like me and Andrew's the same one. And secondly, when they kept posting Jazz getting hit after he came with the Yankees, I was like, oh, he's killing it right now.
I was like, this guy's doing that. This gentleman's doing well.
The exact same thing. Yes.
I enjoy this. Wait, yeah. We're going to swing that bat.
Go Bahamas. 2-4-2 to the world.
Homie.
Yeah. I don't know how we pick it up from there. I just don't.
Our best, Carter.
No, but relative to his play the season after the trade, I think the key coming in for Jazz was the idea to be great. It's easy, and this is going to sound so offensive to some baseball franchises, it's easy to be good on bad teams. You have a lot of opportunity, and that's what he was with the Marlins. But the ability to step into that Yankee lineup and not only fit in, but to be amongst the highest ranked on base percentage, the highest ranked hit percentage. Like, you had things like that separate him from the run-of-the-mill, everyday Yankee. So to watch him in the playoffs come down the stretch, again, he outperformed Stanton. To a degree, he outperformed Soto down the stretch. And that's what you want to see from a player like Jazz, who's supposed to be eventually one of the faces of the franchises for the Yankees.
This is going to sound weird, right? And like, we've already established me and Gar got the same place when it comes to this. But like,
no, that's accurate.
Like his energy comes off very
But I think that's just the behemoth in him. Again, right. I think naturally when you get into that space in the Bahamians are naturally confident people. So if you put them in a space like that where everybody's going to gravitate towards them, it's like that swag just picks up 100 more.
The crazy thing about it is, and people that know this and were around him since he was young would actually pick up on this, but for some reason, he just always been that. Yeah. So I remember when they signed, we did a podcast with them right after the fact. And Jazz was saying, yeah, he did not sign for the most amount of money in that class.
Mm.
You had Lucius Fox in that class who signed, who got a $6 million bonus. Jazz was nowhere near that. I think he was at like $200,000, I want to say, or something like that. And he sat there confidently in our meager studio at the time, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to be the first one in the majors. Like, yeah, I'm going to be the best one in this group. Like, he was saying that with his chest, and we were looking at each other like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you would hear people from Freedom Farm when he was younger playing up against older guys, and he always had this confidence. So I always tell people that this isn't new. This isn't him adapting to everything around him. This is him just being consistent straight throughout from the time he was a teenager to now. So, yeah, he fits in with that entire New York aesthetic. And the biggest part about this to me, that I love to see with this is the fact that he's such a good teammate and loved in the clubhouse.
Right.
Because a lot of the media was trying to, I think they were trying to kill his trade value when there were problems in the clubhouse and he's not a good teammate. We saw no evidence of that in New York. And not even a little bit.
All the credit.
I mean, I've seen some evidence to contrary.
But all credit to
elaborate.
All credit to him. He was able to ride through everything that happened down in Miami and find a way to basically say, it happened, we addressed it, now it's on to this. And he didn't let his confidence waver at any point during the season.
Where do we think his stock lies now with the World Series loss?
They gotta pay that man.
Yeah?
They gotta have to pay that man. It, you know, immediately after the Volpe play, I was like, well, not time for Jazz to go back to shore.
$700 million.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, time for Jazz to go back to short.
I was about to say.
The ultimate teammate, right?
We can be friends again.
Grew up all his life as a shortstop. Broke into the majors because you got to do what you got to do. Went to second base, became an all-star. Said, you know what? Y'all getting an all-star second baseman in Luis Arraez? I'll go play center field. We don't have that. Did that. Went to the Yankees. Okay, we got a stocked outfield out there. I'll go back on the infield and play third, a position I never played before. Now it may be time to go back to short. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
I'll hear faults going on.
Nah. That is a bit dicey at this point in time because is he gold glove there?
Yeah. He's better there than any other place that he can play on the field. He's a better shortstop than anything else.
I'm agreeing that he's a better shortstop. What I'm saying is, given his skill set, in the best possible position for the Yankees there.
We haven't seen him at his best skill set because he's been playing out of position his entire career, doing things for the first time. When he played second base, that was his first time doing that. Center field, his first time. Third base, all of that was his first time. Compare that to the 10, 15 years he was playing shortstop.
Yeah, fair point.
This is a great conversation.
I'm glad we're having it. So
me and Kari,
okay, hold on. I was so entertained just now. This is a
great conversation, guys.
Okay, sometimes you got to just let people cook. I don't know why you said it.
I want to shift to fandom because we did mention that me and Kari, our dad, is a huge Yankees fan. His grandson, my son, Kaizen, the only person in the family rooting heavily for the Dodgers.
So embarrassing.
And we were like, you know, why are you so pro-Dodger? Like, you actually know Jazz. Like, I know you are wearing cleats that you got from him. You are wearing a Yankee cap that you got from him.
If you dap up Jazz, he knows you.
He knows who you... He knows you. Like, you train with him when he comes home. He knows who you are. So why...
I'm catching the dogs.
I know. Inside joke. But about fandom, where our fandom comes from...
I need to know why he's a Dodger fan.
He loved the Dodgers, but that's his only real legitimate team.
Considering the teams, your family is pulled for, that boy have sense.
He's not heavy into the NFL, not heavy into the NBA. He just pulls for specific players. The Dodgers, I mean, obviously he's a baseball guy. The Dodgers was his first team. Legitimately, that's his team before any of this happened. And so I was like, you don't feel any kind of reservations? He was like, yeah, I just rooting for the Dodgers. That's crazy. So, like, does it mean more to us to be a fan of the team or fans of Bahamians in general?
I have to say it is dependent on the sport. Like, if for Kaizen, his version of that is our version of the Dolphins, unfortunately.
Jeez.
So I would be like, okay, it would be team first no matter what. But if I met the person and then the person has me on their personal team, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to switch up. In basketball, my team is whoever Buddy ends up playing for.
Same.
Then that's who I want to win the championship. I'm sorry. Like, that's just what it is. WNBA is Jonquel. In baseball, Jazz a Yankee. I guess I as a Yankee, too. I got to go online and go try and look sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's literally how it is.
The only time I can't be Bahamian first is if the Dolphins get, like, a really good Bahamian quarterback and end up in the Super Bowl, I will leave this island for a month. I will leave this island for, like,
I hear Cam Ward being
like, what would that look like?
We could start that.
Yeah.
What would a Dolphin Super Bowl with a black, not even black, who cares, with a Bahamian quarterback look like? They'll shut this island down.
Yeah, riots in the street.
Riots!
It'll be problematic.
That's the one time I'm not voting. It's like, no, I'm not doing it.
So I'm saying,
don't,
like,
make it sound so negative with a riot.
But
peaceful protesting.
I think it was last season the Dolphins went on like a 3-game win streak and they... Adu was literally prepared to close off Market Street. So imagine a Super Bowl with a behemoth
quarterback. With a behemoth quarterback. That's too much. They always do this. I'm not buying this. I'm sticking on topic. I'm saying behemoth athletes take precedent. I guess if it's someone who you love when you're a kid and as a teenager, you embrace your team more. And then that can be it. But when it's something like a Bahamian getting to that ultimate, to the end goal of their sport, to be like, oh, I'm going to be great no matter what, I think you always tend to root for the Bahamian. I do. I would not have been watching the World Series. I'm not going to lie. If I'm, like the Dodgers versus I don't know who.
Let's check him at the phone lines. Caller, you there? Go ahead, caller. Okay, I think the phone lines are still down.
He's so good at this.
But
question.
So, did you really press that button?
Just a quick question for you. Uh-huh. You have a son, you have a child. How are the kids getting too comfortable with all that we have now? We've never had this influx of talent. Are they like comfortable with it now? Like, yeah, like during like the Obama years, they're like, yeah, a black president could be a thing. Is that how it is now for him?
I think that has something to do with how their fandom operates, because their fandom is different from ours. I think they have so many things they have to pay attention to when they got limited bandwidth. Like, they're not locked in just watching sports all the time for the most part, unless they actually play that specific sport. My thing was, and I started to wonder this, does the fandom mean more when it's inherited? Like, we're Dolphin fans because of our dad, because we grew up, we just always went to Miami. That was awful the thing experience. That was in front of our face. And to this day, do we regret it? Absolutely.
Yes, 1,000%.
And I always said, you know what? I am not going to pass any fandom along to him. I'm going to allow him to make his own decisions. Yeah. Baseball became his thing. The Dodgers, I guess that's than the others.
But or he also had the Giants, though.
That was Odell.
Yeah.
Okay. That was Odell, and then that was Steph. He can't tell you who plays for the Giants now.
Nice.
That's all that was.
I know we can't choose our race, but y'all know y'all can just
choose better teams. Back
But not in football. I don't know why.
See, no, I always had that belief until Tom Brady. So after the Tom Brady ordeal, I was like, yeah, if the team suck, you could just, you know, root for another team. Tom Brady went down to Tampa, and I was like, as bad as we were, I still felt at that time Mac Jones was the better quarterback.
I'm sorry. This sounds like a rich person talking about Tom Brady. I'm not talking to no six Super Bowl winning person.
But from that standpoint, for me, it's always, since that scenario, it's always been team, player, and then whichever team I hate the most, whoever's playing against them, and then the Bahamian talent.
But is this, and I want to go back to what Kari was bringing up, is it the maturation of a fan, though? Because in the NBA, I no longer have a team. It's Buddy. It's Ayton. It's Kai Jones. Yeah, it's Eric Gordon. So I feel like, take Prince Strong, for instance. If he breaks into the NFL and he's an amazing... I feel like I may go pull for who... I'm not buzzing. I feel like I may just pull for whatever team that is, because I have reached wit's end with this whole Dolphin thing. Like, why don't we apply that to everything else? Why does the Dolphins feel like so much of a home team that we can't break away from it?
I don't know. I guess for me, it's always been the idea of, if you root for the Bahamian player, it's kind of you're rooting in support of. It's not really a true love. So when Buddy does good, I'm happy because it's Buddy. But if the Lakers win, it's like, no, that's a part of me. This is true joy. I don't feel that when I just root for Bam. I want him to do well, but it's not like my first priority.
I mean, you all should have traded for Buddy instead of Westbrook.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. Yeah. That was probably one of the dumbest moves Rob Pelinka ever made. But here we are, retrospect. He's doing good in Golden State. I'm happy for him. But Lakers for the chip.
Let me be clear. Buddy, look, he having fun out there.
Too much fun.
How much of it?
We're going to get to it after the break. I think we have 2 minutes before the break. How much of it is Chris DeMarco and Steph Curry or Buddy just having fun? I need to figure that portion out.
That's in the next segment.
Okay, there we go. Just queuing it.
No. We didn't know because we didn't get any.
You did. You just you didn't check it. It's the same document that we had the last time.
I even got it. I just came.
Yeah, he got it. He doesn't even live here.
I asked about it this morning. So full production for those listening in.
So did you get it?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Thank you. Did you see it?
No. So full production meeting now. So we normally do this run now and now. It's in a run now. I'm going to show notes prior to.
I feel like everyone should be able to add to the document.
He sends it in a Google Doc. And I just didn't think the Google Doc updated. So when I checked it, When I checked it, I just didn't see any updates. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, where the notes? And he's like, it's the same doc. And I was like, okay, cool. Let me check. And then I checked and it was updated.
I feel like we should all be able to add our notes to the document because I want this to be an inclusive experience and not just me dictating what we should talk about.
So producers tell us we have a call, but the phone lines are still down. So please, if you're trying to call in and can't get in, hit up the text line. That's 422-GR96 or 42. Hold on. Do we have someone?
He's the best at being the board op.
Yeah, but...
Okay, I think we lost that caller.
Mm-hmm. The beeping.
All right, so I'm just going to run back through the phone lines before we go to break. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll free at 300-5720, or you could text us on the Guardian text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
Oh, this is the point where I take us into the break. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is the half. When we get back, we talk NBA.
And the NFL. Most awkward way possible. I love this show.
Good job, Greg Cody.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Are you uninsured and seeking a plan that can give you quality healthcare at discounted rates? Unlock affordable healthcare with Doctors Hospital's LAMP. Enjoy unlimited primary care visits, exclusive discounts of up to 20%, and complimentary imaging and nutrition services. Visit doctorshosp.com/LAMP to register. Comprehensive, cost-effective wellness starts with LAMP.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo, print it every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day, beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield, and every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place. It's that simple.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's not. Y'all is always telling me to start too early.
We started just now, so we back.
Did I start just now?
Yeah.
Because I feel like y'all is always telling me to start too early. Now start.
Yeah, we back.
Okay, cool. Welcome back to the Accredited Powered by Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I believe that goat life is not only a self-help mantra, but it's a way of life we should all adopt.
Praying for Guy Jones every day.
It works. Oh, why y'all post stuff.
My name is Drew, and everyone should watch From. Very good show.
I'll try it.
There you are.
My name is Dakari, and I ask in the group many times why they post stuff on 10th year seniors. One thing in particular.
Carter, I'm just trying to figure out, y'all saw the cost of living survey?
Did you?
I just need to know where everybody fit in. If you think you're middle class, Is it up to 4,000 for you a month? I just need to know that for the record.
Did you want
to
do that here?
No, I don't want to do it. Yeah, just to say it. Like, I really I'm puzzled by this. So I'm trying to figure it out. So
I was impressed that they did that on a Friday news dump.
Well, I think she just put it out. COB was just like, oh yeah, we got this. Put it out.
I think you have to call them UB now.
Still COB.
Don't
bro.
Make them come across
nah,
the street.
Nah, boy. We from here. What you mean?
It includes rent / mortgages.
Yeah.
And then groceries and gas. And utilities?
Everything.
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't include insurance, medical expenses, stuff like that. It's just bizarre to start with.
Maybe don't have insurance.
That's what I'm learning about this whole problem. Everybody was like, yeah, I don't have that. So I was like, who keeps an insurance? I forget. Guardian is also owned by an insurance company. But so please, support your insurance company. Please, support your...
I love it so much.
Man. I can't wait until y'all get a call on Monday.
Boy, Carter could be a problem. speaking as the one in the room that has a kid, absolutely, I saw that and I was like, yeah, everything is expensive. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's not surprising to me.
None of it was surprising.
That's what things cost.
You all see how much almond milk costs?
Well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Almond milk is a choice.
Agreed.
I drink water and rum.
Hold on. I need to understand why that was the hill you opted for.
Oh, man.
Almond milk?
Yeah, yeah. Many, now many. I feel like you ostracize yourself from the audience.
Almond milk. I do that by having a sports talk show on Saturday morning.
Yeah,
that's true. Good time, though. 11. 11.
Great time. Yeah. So coming out of the break, I wanted us to make a shift from talking baseball. We got a bit into it talking about basketball. We mentioned Buddy, so that's the place where I wanted to start. His fit with the Warriors, shooting at a record pace this early on. So, and he gave voice to it saying this is the most free he's felt since he played
Oklahoma.
Shout
out Steve Kerr.
But I think the most surprising part of this to me was, and it's only been two games, but winning back-to-back games without Steph Curry, without Andrew Wiggins, with Buddy leading the charge offensively, I did not see that part coming.
Steph is my favorite non-Bahamian basketball player. And Steph's...
Oh, LeBron?
Yeah, now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And Steph's smile... When but said everything, it was like, yeah, man, not only can you do this, we expect you to do this, we want you to continue to do this. And I said to myself, oh, they ain't gonna trade Buddy, because now after letting Clay go, they need another shooter on the court who they view as prolific as Steph. And when Draymond, he saw Buddy was hot, Draymond did like a half screen roll, gave it to Buddy, and he was confident Buddy was going to hit the shot. It's like, oh, he get the crazy person on his side, and he get the man who's running the team on his side, and the coach. That's it. I've never seen Buddy in this position. And once again, I'm on Amazon looking for Warriors gear to buy because of Buddy.
I mean, possibly unpopular opinion, I think Buddy's a better fit than Clay was. Am I tripping with that?
I'm tripping. Yeah, yeah.
No.
You going to say that?
No.
No, not tripping. This version of Clay, yes. But the old Clay, then you're tripping. The old version of Clay is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old version of Clay is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But to Andrew's point of him being a better fit. Y'all can get mad at me.
Don't do this.
Y'all can get mad at me.
Let him cook.
I'm going to get mad. I just can tell you
I'm not going to say he's a better fit. But what I've seen in the last 2 to 3 games... It's close.
As opposed to a decade.
I don't know if it's just the way the players are drawn up.
And four chips. A decade and four chips.
What I'm saying is...
Clay made all defensive teams.
I agree.
60 points.
All I'm saying is...
He dribbled 10 times.
Buddy is very, very good in this role.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. That's how we started the segment. I don't feel like we have to place that against Klay Thompson and wonder...
It's close, though.
Who is better.
Don't put Bahamas versus Bahamas.
Yes, why do we have to pit Bahamas versus Bahamas? We don't have to do that. We don't. We can just enjoy. This is my biggest problem with sports talk now. We don't have to frame people against each other in that moment all the time. Yeah. All we got to do is
like
eat, throw, rock, and run. All we got to do is just enjoy what's happening now.
Do you think it was a situation?
An American hat.
Do you think it was a situation?
Whoa, that's a loaded hat.
I didn't realize that. But do you think it was a situation where Chris DeMarco just said, hey, yeah, He could be what Clay was for us.
Now, obviously, there has to be some tie in here because when you're around Chris DeMarco a lot, whenever it comes to national teams, especially coming off this summer, you're coached by someone on the Warriors coaching staff, and then you happen to sign with the Warriors. There's tie in there. They had to have some sort of conversation. That part is obvious, but yeah, you obviously see the skill set that can be an addition to the Warriors that can be a fit. I think people, you still have to be surprised at how well he was acclimated so quickly.
You think the conversation was, we could let you shoot, boy?
Yes. Yes.
And that's what I think it was.
With Buddy in the system now, where does this take the Warriors now? Do we see them in the finals?
I think the biggest addition to it, the biggest benefit of it, and it goes back to playing at the end of the bench for the Bucks and what Bronny is doing with the Lakers. Sometimes you got to do stuff just to keep your star happy, right? Mm-hmm. And Kari gave voice to it when he said, yeah, you could see the look on Steph's face that he's enjoying this. The Warriors didn't look like they were enjoying basketball.
Are they a finals contender? No. They have to make a trade or two before they get to that. But they're not a finals contender right now.
I think it's hard to say this early in the season because the Nuggets suck. The Lakers might be good. There's a lot going on right now, a lot of moving pieces. So I'm not going to say they're not a finals contender. I think they're there, though.
I want to pivot quickly to GOAT life. Kai Jones has found a role. Kai Jones has found happiness. And it is a joy to watch.
I feel like you're trying to make this a segment every week. I respect Kai Jones. I want him to do well. Ain't nobody watching no Clipper games now.
Nobody. We see in the Kai Jones highlights.
I need... Please, if anybody out there dedicated, they're building the new Intuit Dome. It's nice.
Amazing.
But nobody watching no Clipper
games. You know
what?
I got to watch Kai Jones
they
play basketball.
They come on at 10:30.
I'll watch Kai Jones play basketball when he played for Team Bahamas.
I respect that. I respect that. I mean, if we could do real story show, that, we got to address that. We got to address the elephant in the room.
I don't know why you would bring this up when I'm in the room.
Do we even have Clippers fans?
No.
I don't know a single Clippers fan.
But this is the thing, though. You like this when I was just root for that guy.
I think Kai got some things to prove.
He has everything to prove.
And then we can revisit this probably by the end of the year.
No, I mean, well, when you have a weekly show and then they do things every week, we have to talk about it every week. Like, y'all said trying to make it a segment. But yeah, that's what we do. We talk about them every week. When we come in here on Saturday, they do things for the week, and then we talk about it.
Yeah, Aiton's playing really well.
And that was next. 5 consecutive double-doubles.
We can get on that. Pause. Aiton, he's been a standard. I'm very impressed with what he's doing in that offense. Chauncey is finding a really, really good way to use him on the defensive end. I think the mistake Phoenix made with him the last couple of years is trying to get him to play absolutely at 100% on both ends, and that burnt him out. He could not make up his mind if he wanted to be the defensive star now or he wanted to be the anchor for the offense. And I think right now in Portland, he's finding a way to hold up on the defensive end, be a contributing factor, but at the same time, be that standard player on offense.
Yeah, but it's so tough playing basketball that isn't meaningful on the surface.
And you're a Portland Trailblazer. How is it?
I just said the segment before that this team thing does not... I do not care about the laundry. I care about... Is it fun?
You know what the Suns need right now?
Ayton?
This is what I'm saying. And I blame 100% that on Kevin Durant and Monty Williams. I don't understand where it went wrong or how it went wrong, but what they have now in Phoenix is just isn't working.
Every week, I think the segment should be like, who should DeAndre Ayton get traded to?
That's what I said last week. He is going to set a record for the most meaningless double-doubles in NBA history. Let's go quickly to football. Boy, this always go by. Let's go quickly to our football segment. Things are down bad, where we talk about... I want us to go majoritively.
There you go. You do it.
None I wanted to go majority awards. Basketball because I really didn't want to talk about the NFL this week. But we talk about
why are we talking about the NFL this week?
5 most popular Bahamian fan bases in the NFL. We could just do the Dolphin thing first and get it out the way. Dolphins 2-5. Tua came back, meant nothing. Things are down.
What you mean, that run form is 5 yards. That's a mile. That's a lot.
Can I just say, it was in a stadium. It was amazing.
How nervous was the stadium?
It was electric. Everyone was saying no, 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 no. And when he slid, everyone said yes. And then I felt the Cardinal defensive back was like, all right, bro. Like he pulled up and be like, you got it.
So I think Tiggs is Tiggs. I mean, it's normal.
What?
I bought a Ravens t-shirt. He was talking about why you just don't switch. I was just like, I'm just trying to feel what it's like, you know?
Yeah.
I never knew you used date new teams. That's crazy work.
Wait, we used to have a whole segment on the pod.
Like, is the shirt loose? Is this good?
Like, we used to have a whole segment on the pod week to week with me trying to find a new team. It just didn't stick.
I thought it was you just falling in love with new black quarterbacks.
I went black quarterback.
That's
Was it you trying to find a new team?
No. It was the year before the Rams went to the Super Bowl. The Rams and the Browns were the two front runners, and then the Browns made some questionable decisions with who they decided to sign. It just didn't stick. Like you were talking about how the love was in there. It didn't stick.
I hope the Browns in this segment because Jim Swinson is my new problem favorite person.
I went back Dolphins to this abusive relationship.
Is that I know too much. Like we have a group chat where even amongst Dolphin fans, I feel like I'd be sending them updates about practice. About who is in. I always know who's in, who's out first. I know too much. I want it to be over, just like the election. Please be done. Lose to Buffalo. Did let me go with the rest of my
life. Did y'all hear the reason? I'll ask for it's good, because they may know. Did you hear the reason why the Dolphins didn't sign Mike Tomlin as head coach?
Yeah, that story comes up every year.
The first time I heard it was around the time when they offered Brady ownership. And I was like, wait, what?
Too hip-hop.
How do you make decisions like too hip-hop for Miami?
I feel like I could Miami scroll up 50% Latin. Said that to me the year before.
And 50% hip-hop.
Cardo, who's making the decisions?
That's true.
When we sit in a room like this, people are making the decisions?
We are national airwaves. You can't say the things we used
to say. All right, cool.
Say,
so. Dallas Cowboys, 3-4. Tings is Tings are down bad.
Down bad, right? Praying for Dak. Praying for Dak. He deserved better.
I mean, he got the bag. He got the wife.
Was the money the problem?
No, I think it's just talent.
For him or the team around him? Because you have CeeDee Lamb.
The team around him.
So, is it the offensive line? Because it's still one of the best in the league. Or is it the running back? I'm trying to figure out where the problem is on offense if it's not Dak.
Oh, the problem is Mike McCarthy.
There we go. Okay. Yes. Okay. We on the same page.
Yeah.
Also,
Dak isn't good.
I think Dak is good. I don't think they built. Y'all think they built great skill position players around him?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I mean. They're bad at drafting.
No, CD is excellent, but what is outside of CD? They brought back Zeke Elliott.
Yeah. Okay. From that standpoint, I agree.
what are we doing? From that standpoint. Zeke was washing
for the majority of his career, he had good skill positions around. Good skill position players around him.
And he turned into a top 10 QB in the league.
But you don't regress that faster.
And this is fast.
You don't. Like, I've seen Peyton throw to nobody. I've seen Tom throw to nobody. Even for a few years, Mike Vick threw to nobody.
We have been spoiled over an extended period of time.
But he's now the highest played quarterback ever.
We got to think that that's the norm. You see how quick this Deshaun Watson thing happened?
I pray for the masseuses, though. They deserve better.
Yo.
San Francisco 49ers now 500 4-4. Tings are down bad. Obviously, Tings is Tings for Bosa or whatever. But for the team, as they continue to get healthy, what do we think about with the 49ers?
I don't think they're about to get healthy fast enough to them to be doing anything. So I think down bad.
I think Tings is Tings because I don't understand where they keep finding these.
Tings. You put the H in it.
Sorry. Tings is Tings. I don't know where they keep finding running backs from. It's confusing to me. I don't know if it's just the zone offense that allows every running back to be half decent. I've had all of their running backs in my fantasy league so far for the year. It's just, you just swap them out.
Oh, Tings is Tings. CMC coming back for week 10. Oof. They will make a run. They might not win a division, but they'll upset someone in the first round of the playoffs, I think.
Who can win a division if not there?
Seattle.
Never.
Depending on how Tuesday turns out.
I respect Geno Smith much as the next man, but he ain't winning that division.
What's wrong with Geno Smith?
Why
can't Geno Smith win it, Cardo?
I just feel like he's fine ways to mess up
that. You just feel?
Cardo Bosa.
You just feel like he does something.
I see what you did there.
You just feel like he can't do it.
Bosa either could be defensive player.
Make the 49ers great again.
Oh, Jesus.
Pittsburgh Steelers, 6-2. Who saw this coming? Tings is Tings. Down
Mike bad. Tomlin definitely saw it coming. He definitely saw it
he
coming.
He definitely did.
Did he really just want a black quarterback all this time?
Probably, yes.
Imagine what the conversations was like with Ben down the stretch. It's not that you slow. It's just that you don't move fast enough. I feel like he told Ben that at least 3 times.
I feel like he said, I just want a quarterback who is not accused of stuff. And then let's see how we can do it. And then they got him Kenny Pickett. And he's like, well, he can scramble, but he can't do anything else.
Yeah, do you think Tomlin was like, y'all see what I can do with mediocrity? Like, I have had this team living at 8-9-8.
I see what he's doing.
We overhyped Roethlisberger for a minute, you know.
A long time.
He was just hard to tackle.
A long time.
He wasn't that good.
He was good.
Was he?
He was decent. He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Like, you got to be like a top 8 quarterback to win the Super Bowl. And I think he was always in that top 8.
Y'all disrespectful.
And then he kind of like fell off. The thing about the Steelers that really gets me is that, George Pickens was right this whole time. And he was really acting up and being mad and doing all these weird things. People saying he wasn't a good teammate. He's like, this is because they was dead.
No,
and he keeps just thinking like,
they dead and I good night always open. If someone could throw me the ball, I'd be up there with CeeDee Lamb, and these bad quarterbacks are affecting my money.
We root for the Dolphins. Do you see what Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle numbers been like this season?
Well, they could have showed up against the Cardinals. So.
Well, they could have.
Wow, but for the Steelers, tanks is tanks.
Yeah, tanks is tanks.
And let's get to fan base number five, the front runners. This position belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God. Is Chiefs on here?
Is it big?
No. The Bahamians just go to whatever the front runners are. Yeah. So I'm saying, you weren't here. So that used to be called them. That used to be the Patriots.
Yeah. Let me get Mark this on.
Get
Ricardo stuff.
You know how much y'all
Ricardo, read the numbers.
You know how much y'all cost me by winning that game against the Jets?
We do our work though.
What work are you doing?
I still don't know how we won the game, but we do our work, bro.
You want Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick's eye?
At this point, look here. See, that's why you can't have turmoil in your family, you know. It's be tough. Definitely on Robert Kraft's side.
That's crazy.
You want Kraft's
crazy.
Side?
That's crazy.
That's my guy.
Why?
Yo.
That's right my here. Guy.
And this is why he said pray. This is why he said pray for the masseuse.
And this is why I call him the false god. Because he's always surprised me with some weird take.
Mm-hmm. That's my guy, bro.
Belichick was your dude, bro.
I'm going to argue this with you for another hour.
He's still a father figure to me. But I have Robert Kraft's side. You got to move on at some point.
So when do you...
When he's on the team.
Jones.
I can't force that. When he's on the team, me on to the next one. Until then, we rolling with Robert Kraft.
Can I just say, on the front runner thing, Chiefs boring.
Are they though? Yeah.
Finally, we're ready to have this conversation. Okay, I don't like them. I enjoy the Patriots because I love to hate them.
Really enjoyed the Patriots.
I enjoyed it. You know why? Because Tom Brady was so good, he made me love him.
I'm trying not to make eye contact with Colin. Right. But they played... Great. The Chiefs will be entertaining the Super Bowl.
But before then,
this is going to be boring.
But like this, and now I see trying to give them like a reality show where the wives can have a show. It's like, it's too much.
I think people get worn out by droning excellence. And we see it happen not only in sports. Watching Mahomes play is probably the greatest experience I have watching football. I can never get tired watching Mahomes play. Right,
I don't care what happens. That's just me. How?
The referees don't help them at all?
Hold on.
How
that happens to everyone.
How do you enjoy especially Patrick Mahomes the last 2 years, at DeKyrie's point? Yeah. He's good in the postseason. But what he's been doing in the season so far, I still don't understand how they made it to the Super Bowl last year.
I am impressed by his ability to work with whatever he has. He got them.
That's his trophy of the year, bro.
Hold on. And he's 7-0. That ain't impressive to y'all. My thing is, he did that with nobody that could catch. He did it with nobody that could catch last year.
I'm not refuting any of that. I just said that they seem boring to watch.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
I feel like they'll be entertaining in the playoffs, but... Week to week in terms of just strictly entertainment, I don't watch.
You know what's a good time?
It feels boring.
That's just a personal preference.
Lamar Jackson is fun.
Yeah.
Little dude from the Cardinals, the quarterback, who's running like a bad child.
Kyler Murray,
I enjoy that game. I mean, no disrespect to y'all. I enjoy that game so much.
He was so good.
Niall made an excellent point by John. Niall said, that man runs like a bad child, and you don't catch bad children.
You don't.
That's how he's run.
You have to wait for him to get
escaping a blitz and threw a dime to the right on a third down.
That's full
stadium quiet.
You have to wait for them to get tired or hope that your threat works. That's the only way to catch a bad
job. I think this is a conversation we got to pick up next week. I low-key think this is the best.
We got 8 minutes.
Quarterback class ever. This current quarterback class
ever.
The quarterbacks who are in the league.
No. This last draft. This is the best QB draft. I think
Drake made him.
Yeah. Why do you have to start with Drake May?
Because I don't know.
Jaden Daniel Williams now.
It's because Drake May in it. That's why.
It's not because Drake May is in it. Like, I respected everything Jaden Daniels had to offer.
You drink before?
Yeah. Because Marino and Elway was in the same class.
I agree. You're not listening to me. I'm saying it's going to bear out as we go forward.
Okay.
Like, I'm not. Look at what Jaden Daniels is doing right now. Mm. Look at what Caleb Williams doing. That was one of the best NFL games I've seen in a really long time, watching these two guys duke it out. It reminded me a lot of like when the first time Eli played Phillip, when they came out in the draft. I think it was what, 06, 07,
somewhere around there.
I looked at that moment, I was like, bro, these guys can be playing for Super Bowls for quite some time. These two quarterbacks. Now, if you want
Turns out only one of them.
Mm.
And he beat you.
Twice.
Multiple times, twice, yeah. That was fine.
Anyway.
Bars.
We I was actually pulling for you all those.
Yeah, we can be back in 8 years on this conversation.
I think that is wildly ridiculous. The first couple of weeks of the season.
Wait on it.
Is this quarterback class even good?
That's what sports talk radio is about. I've seen these 8 games. Best class ever. Best class ever.
Push the button.
I've seen enough.
You got to push the button.
Fulton, you're actually talking to grown men in their 40s.
They can get mad.
Hold on. The Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
Who else was in those drops?
Daniels and Caleb Williams. Nobody else.
Hold on. Go back. Of course, the Elway and
Marino
draft.
Ken O'Brien, Jim Kelly.
Correct. Yes. And then you have the Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. I think Ben was in that draft as well.
Name one quarterback that's on the same caliber of a Tom or a Peyton.
In
this class.
The question isn't how talented one quarterback was in the pack.
I'm asking you a question.
The conversation is how good of a pack you have any one given
Who's
year.
The third guy, though?
You don't have to go on the third guy. Those two right now.
No,
I think eight years down the line.
You got to go top three.
There's got to be a third guy to be in the conversation.
Who's the J. Cole?
Who's the talented creator? Because J. Cole is not three.
Great album. Yeah.
There you go. No, anyway, we got to talk hip-hop eventually. But anyway, if you want to throw Drake May in there, not because I'm a Patriot fan, I just think this quarterback class is very talented.
Is it
because
Kodak is three?
What?
He said J. Cole was in three. I was wondering if it was because Kodak is three.
Kodak is not three.
Jalen Daniels and Caleb Williams literally played last weekend.
Yeah.
And the game was okay. They played.
The Chiefs are boring.
Trash!
The Chiefs are boring. But that game made you say, you know what? This is the greatest quarterback in class ever seen in the NFL. And it's all, prisoner of the moment, is all because of that one play and how it ended.
Caleb Williams played really great for a quarter.
I miss Kobe, man.
It's all because of how it ended on that final possession. That's it.
You didn't give him a guy had the same, when I say a guy, I'm referring to Lamar Jackson. He had the exact same chance. Did he complete? No. Did he have more talent on the field?
I'll see you in February.
So Geno Smith, something a little off of him. Lamar Jackson didn't get it.
Boy,
now you'll see.
You tell it on yourself.
Now you'll see how I establish how we establish this trope on the podcast about how we always say, you know what? No, you just always root for the black quarterbacks because someone had to.
American hat.
Say that again?
Y'all should have drafted Jaden Daniels, by the way. So I don't know.
Anyway, I can't disrespect Drake May because Kraft says he's the future. I regret not.
You really are a company man.
That's why I can't believe you said the insurance stuff because usually you're a company man. You
don't let insurance stuff.
I regret that. I regret that decision.
I'm so glad you could only vote here. We do in that segment where we make Andrew tell people what to do on their weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew. It's crazy. I didn't mean what I said. You want a good show to watch? I went to Kari to watch that. I think it's giving me like Lost vibes, but I don't know where the hell it's going.
I watched a recap on YouTube because I couldn't keep up with the show.
It's whatever. But yeah. Try it out. It's fun. Good horror stuff. What to do this weekend?
I know. Strut, November 3rd.
What is it?
One party.
I watch the Dolphins.
That's John Party.
That's what not to do this weekend.
Who y'all playing?
I don't know.
The Buffalo Bills and Josh.
Definitely don't watch that game.
Don't watch that game.
Is Tua wearing the Guardian cap yet? Definitely don't watch that
game. Don't ask me these questions.
Go to brunch.
This is how well I keep track now, right? When they posted in the group that Tua was going to be back, I said, there's no way he coming back this early. They said week 8. And John was like, yeah, but it's week 8.
Also, I got to stop lying.
He's already wearing the safest helmet right now, the quarterback helmet. If you wear the Guardian cap, that would make his head closer to the ground when he gets hit and goes down. So the impact for the chance for more injury. That's why. See, I shouldn't know that. I should know other things in my
Everything life. You said just now sounds true, but I don't trust it.
I don't trust it. I go watch the Clippers. All right.
Nobody watches the Clippers.
No one wants to watch that game.
I could rewatch Team Bahamas versus Spain and see who we could have used in that.
Boy, if he was in Spain. It would have been the Olympics. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week at the Accredited. John will be back and tell us all of the great things that happened on his adventure doing whatever it is that he's doing.
Good luck, America.
Buy a boat.
Good luck.
Guy Fawkes Day.